B-Pod Studios.
It's time now for the Gargano and Martinez Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez. It starts now.
Hello?
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Good morning, everybody! Happy, 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 happy Thursday! Oh, thanks for another day! As we are that much closer to Eagles on and Saints. All right, Jason Martinez, Anthony Gargano, and we're at the Midday Show. I got to get right to it. And today, I'm looking for signs. All right, today, I want to hear about signs. I want to talk to those who have discerned the signs. It's happening. They're going to win. And I want to know the signs. I want to know the feeling, that stuff that we all knew. We collectively knew it, Jason, on Super Bowl Sunday of last year. There wasn't a non-believer in the entire Delaware Valley.
Now, everybody, you felt it was the moment. The moment had arrived for the Eagle has landed, finally.
Yes!
Pardon the pun, but the Eagle finally landed in Philadelphia, and we were going to get our Super Bowl, and you felt good all day. There was a nervous anxiety going into the game, of course, because you still have in the back of your head that this is Philadelphia, and when something can go wrong, like fog or whatever,
right,
it will go wrong, but you had an overwhelming feeling. It was like an 80-20. 80% of your fiber, of every part of your being, felt like they were going to win last year. And 20% was just kind of lingering there. But the 80 swelled you over and got you to the game and got you through.
Was it 80? I think it was 99-1.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
I was about an 80-20.
I think everybody was like, just they're going to win. They're going to win.
All right. So if I was an 80-20, you were 99-1 last year.
Whatever. I'm saying.
But where are you now?
I don't know. I feel good.
I'm still in the same conflicted mode. I'm looking. I got piles of papers here, as you can see.
Yeah, throw them all out.
No, because I can't just pin my luck on magic. I can't do it. And football gods.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Because they are
those
playing the
numbers
Saints.
That I heard you and Jason talk. You and Andrew talking about.
Uh-huh.
They don't mean anything.
Well, I have some stuff that does mean stuff about the last four games of the season.
Like, who cares what happened? That the Saints defense is allowed. It's irrelevant.
No, I know you throw that all out the window come playoff time. But more of the stuff that I'm looking at here.
What happened in September is
I'm looking at stuff last four games of the year. I got a ton. This whole article I have here is about the last four games, and I'm looking at all this stuff. And look, there's the compelling case, and it's the Eagles against the run over the past 5 weeks, and what they've been able to accomplish is stunning. The Rams, they only give up 52 yards. One of the best rushing attacks, and Gurley, by the way, although he went out for a period hurt. The Texans, 1.2 yards per carry. The Redskins, 1.9. The Bears last week, 2.8. So over that period of time, 48 rushes, 118 yards for 2.5, two touchdowns. So there's a lot of stuff, and I'm looking at just that back quarter of the season. But I can't. I'm trying to make sense of all the numbers and everything, and my gut's not there. I can't get my gut there. You sounds like you got your gut there. You're coming in today flying. You're feeling it.
Like, here's the thing. I'm putting aside all the X and O stuff.
The analytical
and
approach.
That's my favorite part of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the, as much as I might appear to be the emotional one,
mm-hmm.
I'm really not. When it comes to football,
football and basketball, you're analytical.
I'm more, whatever. But Nick Foles, to me, has defied logic.
Great.
All right? Yep. Nick Foles, even I watched the film yesterday of the Bears game.
All right.
So, what really sticks out is he threw some passes that it's like outrageous, like that they weren't picked off.
Tight windows.
Like flutter balls.
Oh, okay. So you're saying bad passes.
Like, I mean, they weren't bad because they were complete. He only got picked off once. I mean, the other interception mm-hmm. wasn't his fault. That was the ball getting taken away from Smallwood. But he threw some balls that were like homing pigeons. Mm-hmm. Like, when you were a kid and you played football and you did a kickoff, nobody kicked off. You threw the ball high in the air.
Mm-hmm.
You remember?
Yeah, you almost tear your rotator cuff doing it. But
right,
yeah.
You want to throw it high in the air to allow your team, your special teams, Connors.
Yeah.
how many, you know, two or three of them to get down the field.
Well, you used to put the clock on it.
Or get down the street.
Remember you used to put the clock on the hang time?
Right, so you would put it to get down the street. So there were a few of those throws that somehow landed securely in the arms of Alshon Jeffrey or whoever, you know, some of the other receivers. I mean, like, the throw to win the game was outrageous. It was a great play. It was a great throw.
Yeah.
But it was more of a great play than the great arm talent. And I think he defies logic. So I'm out on the X and O and stats and that sort of thing. I you know, listen, I know Saints are good, and I know certain things. I know the Eagles' defense is better than it was when they those two teams met. And, you know, let's see where what happens.
Look, I agree with you, and you're right, because you can't quantify the magic that he has played with from the second half of that Atlanta game last year and down the stretch this year and into the playoffs. You can't quantify it. You can't put an analytical number on it. We have no idea what exactly it means other than the result of what he's accomplished, and it's sensational. And there is, like, he's got a horseshoe in his ass, right?
Well, you know what? I mean, I think there's part of that, but I think he is smart.
Savvy.
I think he is. He's done the work going into it, so he understands what he's looking at.
Yep.
Yeah, I truly believe that, and that's just preparation. That's not luck. That's preparation. So I think there's that. I don't think he's bad. It was funny. My cousin and I were talking about this. He reminds you of Brady in the pocket. How he slides subtly within the pocket. Mm-hmm. He's got short movement. Yeah, he's got short movements in the pocket, and that like buys him in like an extra couple seconds. And you can't do that unless you're really supremely calm. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, we were talking about this, my cousin Joey and I, about how his faith, that's where it manifests itself. He's like, it's no big deal. Like that, he's a different quarterback than he was when he was even 27-2. Mm-hmm. He's much more calm. He's much calmer.
Well, he's more mature in his ability to read defenses and recognize. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm looking through all this data, and here's what I know, and this goes to your point. With that calmness comes clarity, right? A lot of times, because the game slows down to you.
Right.
And you know there's certain aspects of football that if you do certain things, your chances of success are so much higher.
Right.
And as a quarterback, we know what it is. It's the 2.5 second rule. Jaws talks about it all the time, ad nauseum. And here's the deal. According to Next Gen Stats, 48.9% of Nick Foles' passing attempts have come under 2.5 seconds. 115 of 235. On those attempts, Anthony, Nick Foles has been his best. 78.3 completion percentage, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception, and a 110.9 rating. Conversely, he posted 2 TDs and 5 interceptions when he throws after 2.5 seconds. He's cognizant of that, which is why he gets the ball out quick.
Yeah, I mean, that's a body clock. I mean, that's your internal clock. And that is something that Carson did not have, that he struggled with this year.
Because when you're having physical issues, the brain...
His internal clock was off.
It was
a tick late.
You need to have the brain in perfect synergy with the arm, with the core, with the legs, with the hips, everything, the feet. And that's how you can have success. And
right.
That's what Nick Foles has going on. So, it's the horseshoe.
So, yeah, but again, it's not horseshoe. It's you know, it's partly horseshoe, but it's all those other things that you just that you helped out right here with. He's such an interesting guy right now that I believe there's nothing he can't, there's no team he can't move the ball against.
Okay.
I do think he's hot.
Yeah.
I think that hot thing is legitimate. I think there are streaks that are, you know, in your own life. Come on. I'm like a really streaky person. Like when things are going my way, like, you know, oh man, I'll get, you know, we got a project for you. Who knows?
Yeah, snowballing.
You know, stuff
in all
happens.
Aspects of life.
Right. And then when things are bad, ooh.
Yeah, the black cloud.
Oh, yeah, it's ugly.
Yeah, you're like, what's going on here?
It's ugly.
All right, let me give you this before we get to the break and we get to the people today. As a home favorite, the Saints are 3-4. As a road underdog, The Eagles are 2-2. And I've got all these numbers. With the team that wins in 55% of the games, Saints are 5-1. The opposition winning percentage.
See, I love
Eagles
this because
2-5-1.
You
all the
came
trends.
In with all stats and trends.
Trying to get me there.
Where I want to light them on fire.
Yeah.
And I come in with signs. Like, I want to see signs.
Yeah.
It's great. It really is. When it comes to football, I'll be honest with you, I'm not the biggest stat guy when it comes to football because I think numbers lie in football. L-I-E.
Well, because there's not enough data, right?
I'm a believer in more of the film and what you look at.
Mm-hmm.
And
baseball, they don't lie.
I agree.
Right?
I agree. But I think football stats are, you know, I think they're completely skewed.
Mm-hmm.
But all that said, this will be fun. You give me the trends and the numbers, and I seek out the signs.
See, you and I are odd because we're on the opposite. Usually I'm the signs guy and making analogies all over the place. And you're the data guy saying, no, but this is the...
Right.
And we're totally on opposite ends of the spectrum
No,
here.
And for me, it's Nick Foles. Like, I'm converted to the fact that I can't pick against them.
Do you remember this this lyric, Anthony? And the sign says the long-haired freaky people need not apply. Tesla, the 5-man acoustic jam, recorded where? At the Trocadero. Show that?
No,
yes.
I have no idea.
610-632. Let's talk to him from NBC Sports Philadelphia. You see him on Quick Slants. You see him on Eagles pre- and post-game live. He's the best. Derek Gunn joins us right now. D-Gunn, how you doing today?
I was listening to you two earlier, banter back and forth, and I just want to know, have you settled your personal issues between you?
No.
Okay, let's go with it.
D. It's a hopeless combination. All right.
It's never going to change, D-Gun. Yeah.
But everybody needs someone in your office that you can argue with, bounce things back off against. And
I like to bounce his head off the wall a few times, you know what I'm saying?
Wow. Anthony, I think what you need to do is find a good psychiatrist and explain these anger issues that you have.
Yeah, no, I don't have them with anybody else.
We all have that one or two people that just get under your skin.
Yeah.
They can say hello to you, and because they said hello, it just makes your skin crawl.
Yeah.
I have that effect on a lot of people, D-Gun.
But he makes me laugh, so, you know, we'll keep him around.
It's all good in the end.
So, D, let's break this down because we both feel pretty good about this thing. I don't know if it's because we're far removed. You're really inside this thing. What's the view from inside the room?
I feel really good this time around with Nick Foles under center in terms of offensive flow, distributing the ball equally from sideline to sideline, the defense playing better, the young kids on the back end of the defense have played better over the last 3-4 games. I said I feel better. I don't feel extremely good, but I feel better about the Eagles' chances of going down to New Orleans and pulling off a win.
Derek, when you look at the situation, I saw the report yesterday that came out. I know that Michael Bennett, did he practice or was he just, he didn't practice yesterday, right?
No, he was just out there. But you
is
know,
that just Gary a Selden maintenance day?
Okay. Gary Selden does he practice during the week. He has this foot issue. And if you saw him in the locker room, a lot of times it's like he's dragging the foot. But all of a sudden comes Sunday, it's like nothing's wrong with him. So whatever works, don't change it with him. So basically it's maintenance. And I've said this time and time again, I give Doug Peterson so much credit identifying who needs to work, who you need to back off of. And I think that's why this group of guys as a collective whole play so hard for him, because he treats them like grown men.
Yeah.
And he takes into consideration not just a collective group, but individually what everybody's going through.
See, that's the thing. You know what's amazing is, like, how many coaches, because I don't even know if I would, if I was a coach, and if a player came to me and it's a fourth down call and he says, I want to run this, what do you say we run this? It's a good idea, so ultimately it's good to go with it, but I don't know if I would go for it. I mean, most coaches are going to have your own idea what you want to run.
Yeah, you know, but those are the old school coaches now, the Tom Landry, the Chuck Knowles, the Vince Lombardi. You do what I tell you to do.
Nowadays,
you get more and more coaches. Yeah, I think nowadays you get more and more coaches.
Those guys weren't even calling plays like that. Now, yeah, Andy Reid.
I'm just saying that I think these coaches nowadays, most of them, not all of them, I still think you have a few old school coaches in there, but I'm saying most of them now will collaborate with the quarterback, will collaborate with players. A lot of teams have these player committees now. They sit and talk during
the
week.
It's different. I'm just talking about as a play caller in the game, in the middle of the game. These play callers are like these in these booths. They might as well be in the purple tent. That's how these play callers are.
Well, you know what, from Doug Peterson's perspective, you go back to the Super Bowl, who knows how many games beyond that. Doug feels that, you know what, he's got smart guys, he's smart enough guys to give him some ideas, and if their idea is better than his idea, he has no problem with it. And I have no problem with it because, what,
no, I think it's unbelievable. I think it's incredible. I'm just saying that I don't know any coaches. Coaches are stubborn. And coaches go, listen, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with my expertise.
You don't think Belichick will listen to a Brady, now ex-McCarthy will listen to an Aaron Rodgers? I mean, it depends on the relationship you have between the two.
Like, I think they don't talk about it, but I don't think.
Are you just in a fighting mood today? Is that you're just fighting with any and everybody who you talk to?
No, I just think you're wrong, because I don't think. First of all, Belichick doesn't call plays. All right, so he's not the
plays,
Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels is the guy who calls the plays. I don't think Josh McDaniels is even talking to Brady. I think he's calling the play. Now they'll get their input at some point,
but not
before a timeout.
I disagree with that. I think there are.
You go on the Patriots sidelines, and then you could call me and tell me what's wrong, what's real.
I think there are certain circumstances where a quarterback can collaborate with whoever's calling the play, offensive coordinator, head coach, and they do collaborate. And you know what? Sometimes
collaborate's different than we call before a play is called.
Okay, I get that, but I'm saying. I'm saying there's coaches who would say, you know what, your idea is better than mine. Let's do this. Let's try this.
Okay, but here's where your idea I disagree with. So Terry Bradshaw, you're talking about Chuck Noll, old school. Terry Bradshaw called the plays for the Steelers. All right, the game now is so specialized with these play callers. They're so different. I was only bringing it up because Doug is unique in that, and Doug has a more general approach, which is a better approach.
Yes, but I'm saying it's not a rarity. I didn't disagree with
it
you.
It is a rarity.
It's not a rarity. No, it's not.
It is. I told the
really?
Coaches
have
all week long.
How about we go? In the National Football
okay.
League.
Well, how about I'll try to do that for you. Okay.
Okay.
And we'll do a poll,
and then we'll have this. We'll revisit this another day. All right. I'll give you that.
You got it.
Deegan, let me ask you about the Eagles secondary, because when they last met these two teams back on November 18th, Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby were already gone, but Avante Maddox got hurt in that game. We know that they targeted Sidney Jones. He had that bad hamstring, but Avante Maddox bit a couple times last week on that double move. How's this secondary going to be able to handle the Saints this weekend?
I think as a collective unit, I think they're going to be a lot better, but I tell you what, once Matt Nagy identified something in Avante Maddox in that third quarter and he carried over to the fourth quarter, I wish I knew exactly what they saw that they didn't do in the first half of that game, because I guarantee you Sean Payton, I think, is one of the best strategists in the NFL. They've been analyzing this back and forth. And obviously we know the Eagles cornerbacks have had this tendency to bite on the pump fake. That's a lot of cornerbacks doing the National Football League. I have no idea and have not talked to anybody down in New Orleans about what they saw with Avante Maddox in particular, but I will say this. I think that kid has been playing lights out over the past few weeks.
Yeah.
I love his break on the ball. I love his ability to get up there and get physical, something these cornerbacks have lacked most of the season, getting up in a wide receiver's face and getting physical with these guys instead of giving them the 7 to 10 yard cushion stuff, because if you do that against Drew Brees, you'll be marching down the field all day.
Yeah, I agree.
We agree again. We're back on this.
I think you're right about that. I'll argue all day long. I love about sports. Let me ask you. Let's talk about offense, and let's talk about what Nick Foles and you know what you're seeing. He's amazing, because there's some throws that feel like they're going to bring rain, and somehow just drop perfectly in the place. What's been the secret? We're talking to my cousin. It's funny. We're talking about how he's so calm in the pocket, D, and he reminds you of Brady the way he just kind of moves because he's got that big body. What are you saying?
I'm telling you, man. I know it's one pass you're talking about in particular. That pass he dropped in the bucket to Golden Tate over the middle. He does that time and time again. I just think he has such an incredible touch on the ball. He knows when to zip it in there. He knows when to float it out there. And I would say 9 times out of 10, he leads the receiver perfectly. You know, a lot of times, you know, receivers are catching the ball in the back shoulder, have to go down and get it. A lot of times put themselves in harm's way and open their bodies up for a vicious hit. Nick Foles has this uncanny ability and this mechanism in his head that kicks in when he knows exactly when to deliver the ball, man. And I think he does that a lot better than Carson does in a lot of ways. And we can debate that all day if you want. I think Nick Foles has a much better touch on his passes in general than Carson does.
Yeah, no question about it. Derek, when you
look... but no question about it.
Based on the mechanics of this year.
If you want to talk about last year...
I'm not talking about this year, just the mechanics this year, because Carson was clearly playing injured.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Derek, how do you see the game playing out? What happens on Sunday at 4:40 down in New Orleans? You'll be down there, and we're hoping to see you in that postgame with Brandon Graham chirping you.
I think it's going to be a much more competitive game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any stretch of the imagination. But I keep looking at these numbers of what Drew Brees does in that Superdome. He's 21 touchdowns, only one pick in the dome. His completion percentage in that dome is over 76%. QB rating 133. He's a great quarterback no matter where he plays, but at home he's like Superman. You got to get that Saints offense off the field. I don't know if this defense can get them off the field consistently.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that the Eagles offense can control the clock. I think that's the best way for them to have a chance of winning this game. I said off the top of our conversation that I feel much better about Nick Foles under center and this team going down there competing a lot better. But in the final analysis, I just right now I can't pick against the Saints in that dome in this particular game.
Right. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, look, it's tough to pick against that team at home.
You get them on the road here. They're still good, but it's a different environment, different element. But down there, man, it's like that team is just another machine. They're averaging 37 points a game at home.
I mean, it's
so different when they play in that dome.
Yeah, no, I hear you. You're right about that. You would be the least shocked of anyone should the Eagles win, if only because of the magic that's kind of seems to be happening again.
Exactly. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, a lot of people on the outside looking in will be, if the Eagles pull off another upset, it's a shocker. And I look at it as a shocker. I'm like, this team is doing it again. You know, they did it. A lot of people didn't believe in them last season. They kept rolling. They hoisted the trophy. And it's like they're doing it again. They're finding ways to win again. It's somebody different doing something big for them every week. And that's what you need. You can't rely on just one guy in playoff situations like this. You need a collective group, somebody to step up and make a defining play somewhere. And that's what this team is getting again. So, yeah, if they do this, it wouldn't shock me one bit.
No question. Hey, D-Gun, we appreciate it, man. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Anthony, it was good to agree with you for about 65% of this conversation.
Yes.
Andy Reid would never let anybody call the plays.
All right, we're not going backwards. D-Gun, thanks, brother. There he is, Derek Gunn. You can check him out on Quick Slants. And time for Bring the Heat, which is brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Stay warm this winter. Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you.
I can't. Some of Andrew's most incredible work right here.
Love.
You must have taught him well.
I didn't. I didn't really teach him how to do imaging.
Because you were a great imaging man.
Yeah, it was my forte. Maybe I'll go back to it. It is time for Bring the Heat and the Foles Faith Line. Let's see what we got today.
All this talk about quarterback next year, Foles, Wentz, if he wins another Super Bowl. If he wins another Super Bowl, I don't give a flying f*** who our quarterback is, because we'll have back-to-back Super Bowls. And I would say the odds of winning a third Super Bowl in a row are slim with any quarterback that you have.
Yeah, I hear you, brother.
It's hard to win back-to-back. Back-to-back-to-back?
Like, we're only through round one of four.
Yeah, there's a lot of runway here.
Yeah, I mean, one of four is, and I mean, if, think about this for a second. If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, they'll have beaten Chicago in Chicago, the Saints in New Orleans, either Dallas in Dallas or the Rams in L.A., and then whatever beast comes out of the AFC.
Mm-hmm. You hearkened it back to when the Giants beat Green Bay.
Tampa, Dallas, Green Bay, and the unbeaten Patriots.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's an amazing road.
Whew, that's a tough road.
Best road ever, I think.
Yeah.
Road,
Jason, I'm sorry. I disagree with you so much about this. I carry the scars of the Fog Bowl, too. And I knew we were never going to get a chance to redeem ourselves unless we play Chicago in the playoffs. And we finally got the chance. The Fog Bowl compared to the double doink, yes, it makes up for that damn game.
You can't make up for something that happened, though.
I don't know, but he's been calling the lines. He called the BNC line forever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a great caller to the line. He calls every day to the lines. I want to invite him in.
He brings up good points. Consistently.
Yeah, he's a consistent line guy.
Well, he's got it well thought out, and he knows how to deliver
it
succinctly.
I'd like to extend an invite to him to come in and hang with us
now,
for a day.
Now, I appreciate him for another reason. I forget what his name was, but there was one day where the engineering department deleted all of our calls for one day.
I remember that, yeah.
So we asked the people that we would do all live calls, and he called, and he was the first one. He said, I'm going to help you guys out today.
What's his name?
I forget his name, and that's the only time he's ever called live.
Wow.
But he knew we needed help, so he called in.
Ah, he's got our back. That's a guy you can count on. That says a lot. What's next?
You want signs, Anthony? How's this? I'm walking down the street, and I pass an old man. I notice that his wallet falls from his pocket. I pick it up and say, hold on there. It looks like you dropped this. He said, oh, thank you very much. You're a saint. And I punch him in his face and say, you're a saint. Go away.
Wow. Sheesh. He's not messing around. He erupted like Mount St. Helens. Remember that?
Yes.
What's next?
The ass came all the way over here.
Yeah.
Dallas. With there being some signs pointing towards Bryce Harper signing with the Phillies on Saturday, I ask you this. Which weekend would you take? And you can only have one. Phillies get Bryce Harper, but the Eagles lose. Phillies don't get Bryce Harper, but the Eagles win.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my goodness, dude. That is the hardest either-or ever.
Choice.
One's a decade.
Yeah, I'd go Harper.
Yeah?
I would. It hurts.
All right,
but I would go Harper.
All right. Super
all right, let's look at this real quick. See, he's great at this, too. He's another.
Jim Souterton.
Jim's another. He's terrific. Comes up with great Sophie's choices. So, I mean, dude, back-to-back Super Bowls? You kidding me? But Harper.
Decade.
Harper, you get a decade. There's no guarantee you win. But you get hard price for a decade?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know.
And you're coming off
up all night.
Yeah. I don't know what the right answer is. I think I'd have to say another Super Bowl.
You're probably right.
Because there will be other free agents.
Yeah.
See, I'll say okay.
Yeah, but it's no guarantee that they get to the Super Bowl.
It's just this week.
Oh, it's true. There's no guarantee.
If I'm guaranteed that I'm going to see Bryce Harper.
Oh, so it's not winning a Super Bowl? It's just getting?
It's just winning
this
against
week.
The Saints.
Yeah, and having the chance to keep going.
No, I must have been fogged out. No, then I take Bryce.
Okay.
Brian, how you embarrass yourself on the MLB Network saying it's okay if the Phillies don't get Machado or Harper. You're just jealous because you got a $150 million contract on the Phillies, and these players are getting double that. So shut your mouth, Ryan Howard. You're a fool. Okay?
He's not jealous of anything. Stop.
No, he won. He's got a title. He's good. People still like to rip Ryan Howard, don't they?
I love Ryan Howard. I don't know why people want to, like, why you want to rip him.
You agree?
Like, I hear you. Like, I want Machado or Harper, but I'm a big Ryan Howard fan.
I am too. Do you agree that I think he was the most important piece of that entire thing?
Slugger.
The offensive.
You don't
part.
Win without the slugger.
Yeah, I think that he was the most important. I think he had impact on the lineup.
I mean, Jimmy was amazing, and he was the engine of the team.
Yep.
And you had Shane, who was important. Chase, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But everything goes with the power. I mean, 58 home runs.
Yeah.
He had 100 and whatever ribbies for 140, whatever, 54.
Yeah, it was crazy numbers that he did.
Whatever that number was, 140, I forget.
Yeah, it was like 143 or something like that with like 54 homers. It was ridiculous. He was incredible. MVP. He was an MVP.
That's insane. But you need the guys who drive home the runs.
And it's weird because it doesn't seem like still people give him his just.
Yeah, I'm a big Ryan Howard fan.
I was too. Let's go to Angry Al on the live line. Hey, Angry Al, what's going on, bud?
What's up, gentlemen?
How are you?
You want a sign? I got a sign because I said so. The Eagles are going to win against the Saints, and the Cowboys are going to beat the Rams, and we're going to have the rematch of 1980. All right? Bet on it.
Oh, God, that would be awesome.
I hope you're right, Al.
I'm telling you, how cool would that be? You get a third down.
Oh, my God, that would be incredible.
Because, you know, baseball ain't going to be nothing with that idiot they got. That's why we're not going to get Machado or Harper, because they don't want to play for him.
See, I actually think, Al, that Harper signs. I got a feeling he signs. I kind of feel it.
It's the dollars and cents reason for you, though, right?
It's everything. I think, I don't know that Harper is dying to play here, but I think he feels wanted.
Mm-hmm. And that's John Middleton.
Yeah, I'm the Middleton.
He feels the passion of Middleton.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's a big deal.
Nick Foles will raise us up on Eagles' wings. Fly us down to New Orleans. Wait till we put the ski mask on and feel the game right from Sean Payton.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.